Welcome to Diabetes Unplugged. Welcome to Diabetes Unplugged, the podcast that shines light on life beyond the diagnosis and redefines the way we approach diabetes wellness. And in today's episode, we are talking about the art of saying no, aka boundaries. But before we get into that, I have to introduce a very special guest who's going to help me unpack this conversation today. And that is none other than Mr. Jared Dam of It's About Damn Time podcast. How are you doing, sir?
You know what? I feel like how you put me on the spot, Anthony, with this. You know, it's just us a simple conversation that turned into an episode. And I think the main thing is because I'm so not good at the boundary thing, but I'm excited to be here. Nonetheless, I am excited to be here on your podcast, Diabetes Unplugged. Yeah.
Listen, I'm excited too. This is like a full, like literally full circle moment because I've been on your podcast a handful of times. And by the time this episode airs, I will probably have been on it a couple more times, which is super exciting because we have a time. We have a time every time. And so for you to be gracing my platform, I just feel like my cheeks hurt because I'm smiling so hard.
It feels kind of weird being on this side of the mic where I'm just like, I don't know what's coming next. I'm just like, hey.
That's crazy. Now, do you do a lot of podcast features or not really? Because you, you just missed Mr. Whole Damn Show. So you are everything in one, you know?
I do a handful of them, but, you know, and it's usually with people that I'm cool with, such as yourself, that I have, you know, so it's a lot easier to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to say that it's easier on this side because all I gotta do is just answer questions and then I don't have to really worry about anything. But we'll see how this episode goes for me to
it's gonna be
really okay. Tell you if it's easier.
We're gonna listen, I think that we're gonna put both of ourselves on the spot. Okay, because we're talking about boundaries, and let's be real, when we're talking about boundaries, things tend to be revealed, okay? But again, that is literally why I created Diabetes Unplugged, because we're talking about life beyond the diagnosis, right? Like, we're talking about diabetes, but we're also talking about the things that led to the diabetes diagnosis and that also stem from that, right? Like, life beyond, life after, what happens next. And so when it comes to boundaries, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people don't like to acknowledge, really, because it can be a very vulnerable space to be in. Like, it definitely can. Now, before, I'm just going to do like a little bit of backstory for those that are listening. So Jared and I were texting, right? Like literally yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
And the topic of boundaries came up and we had barely scratched the surface of the conversation before we were both like, we got to stop talking about this here and jump on a podcast because there is so much to talk about. And here we are literally less than, 48 hours later on Diabetes Unplugged talking about boundaries. Like, this is how it comes full circle. Like, you could be having a simple conversation and you're like, oh, no, we need to bring it to the podcast. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I am. I'm here for it. When you a podcast, everything is content. So, like,
I love it. I'm so inspired.
Most people who are not podcasters, they get annoyed with me in the conversation. Like, oh, that could be a podcast. You gonna be on? No, I don't. But you know, you say, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Like, when you wanna do it? Let's go.
Because I have that effect on people. You know, I'm magnetic in that way. You know, because you're gonna be on my podcast. You might not know it yet, but you're gonna be on it. Okay, so let's get into it. Boundaries. What comes up for you when you hear that word?
Stress comes up for me because I am so not good at it. Like I said earlier, like I think, you know, between talking to friends, talking to family, talking to my therapist, one thing that everyone always tells me that I need to do is boundaries, because I am a well-known, well-documented people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to sit there and, you know, actually setting forth and doing boundaries, it's like, how am I supposed to do this? Like, how am I supposed to be a hero and save the day and have everyone's back and prove my value and my worth as a friend and a family member and a father and a son. And also, like, you know,
still take care of you.
Still keep my sanity. Yeah.
So, okay. But who told you you had to be that, though? I think that's really what we have to unpack is, like, because I get it, right? Like, I get it. We want to be all of these different things to different people, because at the end of the day, like, it can be like, okay, well, family's all you got. You know what I mean? Like, we got to be there for family. We got to make sure that we're reliable, dependable, whatever. But then we put so much unnecessary pressure on ourselves to fill those roles. And it's like, if you don't have proper boundaries in place, you burn out. Like, you can only be so much to everyone if you're not giving enough to yourself. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. It makes perfect sense. And that's usually when I end up in these, I want to say to call them depression bubbles, because, you know, it's been a while since I've hit like serious depression where I was like, okay, I don't want to live.
Yeah.
But it gets to a point where it just almost, I guess burnout would probably be the best way to call it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, way more than burnout. I don't have the energy or strength to do anything for anybody or myself.
Yeah.
I think the last time it happened was actually, you know, just about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I was in that state for like a good 3 or 4 weeks. I was like, I didn't have strength to sit there and do podcast episodes. Yeah. I didn't have strength to put reruns out. I didn't have the strength to sit there and hold anybody down. The phone would ring. I just kind of look at it like, I ain't got it. Like, wow. It was just binge watching old television shows.
I wonder if, like, the whole world, like, as a collective, was on that same energy, because I literally was in that same bubble too. Like, it's crazy you said, like, a month and a half ago, because I promise you that is literally where I was too. And, like, so exactly what you're saying, like, I stopped posting content on social media. And, like, I love creating content. Love it so much. I love creating content. I'm always talking about diabetes. I'm always showing up in my stories, sharing recipes and doing all that stuff. Like, that's so fun for me. But then, like you said, about a month and a half ago, I was like, yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, oh, snap, full transparency. I think that I let some of my boundaries slide a little bit. Now, again, you and I have talked, and, like, I am the boundary setting master, okay? Like, I could set a boundary with no hesitation. Like, I love it because boundaries, what I have come to understand, you know, just in all this healing and all this stuff that I've been doing, whether I'm working with clients or, you know, showing up in, you know, like, different, you know, communities or whatever, I have learned over the years that boundaries are not for other people. Boundaries are for yourself, right? Boundaries for me tell me or show me my limit. You know what I mean? They show me where's my capacity. You know what I mean? What am I willing to accept, and what is, like, the capacity? Where's that cutoff? What am I not willing to accept? You know what I mean? When it gets to this point, my boundary is in full effect. What does that look like? You know what I mean? And so I think a lot of people really struggle with boundary setting because we think it's for the other person. And we're always like, well, I don't want this person to get mad at me for setting a boundary. You know what I mean? Or what is somebody going to think about me if I set this boundary? For example, and the hardest people to set boundaries towards are the people that are closest to you. We don't care about strangers. Yes. We don't care about, you know, half the friends that we call friend. We don't care about that. You know, it's like,
well, most of us don't. Most of us,
like, you know, you do, I'm assuming.
I care about all that stuff.
Well, yeah. You're Mr. People Pleaser, like you said.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Where do you think that started from, though? Like if you can be radically honest right now, like, where do you think that your people pleasing tendencies, where is that rooted from? Like, where did that start? Like, if you can think all the way back to whatever, when did you find in your life that you started, I guess, needing to show up so much for other people in the way that you do? Like, does it give you a sense of self-worth? Like, what's happening for you?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I struggled with, you know, fitting in and, you know, low self-esteem and trying to figure out my place in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a lot of that going on. Like, you know, my mom was, you know, kind of doing her own thing. She, you know, she had her own afflictions and her own demons she had to deal with. Mm-hmm. My dad wasn't always the most present. And so I didn't have those conversations, like, you know, to help me build up stuff. So I always felt like an outsider. I always felt like out of place. And so when someone did actually accept me, that's what it felt like. Okay, I need to prove my worth. I need to stay here and show them what a good friend looks like. Because in my mind, I was like, growing up, I did not think that I was particularly handsome or cute or any type of attraction.
Yeah,
and that's because my mom, but it was an accident. It was an accident.
Wait a minute. You ain't gonna slide past that. What you mean? Because it's because of mama.
All right. So what happened was.
Wait a minute. Mama got you feeling low self esteem.
She feels so bad about it now. But what happened was third grade, and I had to take a class picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hated picture day or whatever, but whatever. And so they were like, and I had like a big overbite, you know? So they were like, you know, smile, you know, give a smile. And I didn't want to show my overbite. So I just like,
right.
You know, like, they're like, no, come on, man, you can do this. Let's do a big smile, a big smile. And I was like, huge smile. I will send you what that picture looks like. And only because it's you, if you want to use it for content, you know, you go ahead. Oh, but I will feel so bad with it because I gave this big smile and it was horrible looking. And so I brought the proofs home to my mom. She was like, why did you smile like this? I'm like, they told me to. She's like, I can't, this picture is horrible. I'm not buying this picture. Now, hindsight being 2020, she wasn't saying you look horrible. I'm not. But in my mind, I told her that like 38 years later. She was like, oh my God, baby, no, you're so handsome. I'm like, it's all right, mama. I was just ugly from 8 to 38.
No. That's so bad. That's so bad. And I can picture the smile because I promise you every boy has that, like, smile. I promise you.
Yeah.
Because my son does it. I already know. But that's so, isn't that crazy, though, that, like, just one little thing, like, as kids, you just never know what that thing is going to be that, like, imprints on us and we carry it with us, like, through the rest of our life. And, like, it's so unintentional, right? Like, it's so, mama didn't mean to call a baby ugly. That's not what she was saying.
she never said it was ugly. She said, I'm not paying for this picture. And I completely associated with ugly. And then now I'm like, okay, I'm not very popular. I am not, you know, I'm pretty much unattractive. So I have to.
Nobody said, but you took it. That was planted.
And,
right.
And so now I have to do everything in my power to show people that I am of value. So you keep me around because I know what it is to be lonely. So I have to give.
That's crazy.
I have to prove myself. And well, you know, even if it was like somebody 2 o'clock in the morning on the highway stuck, you know, even though I got to work in 3 hours. Hey, can you come pick me up? Sure. Do I want to? No.
Oh, wow. But I'm saying, like, are you trying to prove that you're attractive to people or are you trying to prove something else? Like, what is it? What is it that you feel like you're having to prove exactly?
Oh, I don't know how to approve to people that I'm attractive. So I don't. That's definitely not it. What I am trying to prove to people is that, you know, or at least I was, or I still kind of do it, but prove that I am of value, prove that, you know, that that you have a friend in me. Like, but the problem with that thinking is once I feel that way and I do all this necessary stuff, now I've set that precedent. Now I set that standard. Right. That's what a friendship with Jared is like. Mm-hmm. And so anything less than that, well, Jared, what's wrong with you? Like, why do you act like that? And so now I got a chip on my shoulder. And so any boundaries that I may have to create, I'm going to erase them mm-hmm. because I need to sit there and continuously prove because I set this high standard and I got to keep it there. If I drop it down lower, you're not going to consider me a friend and I'm a horrible person and no one's going to like me and I'm going to be alone.
Yeah, but are you assuming that or are people saying that? Because there's a difference, though. Like, that's pressure that you're putting on yourself. And I think that that's what most of us do. We put this crazy amount of pressure on ourselves to perform and to be consistent with the version of ourselves that we met someone at. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, that puts you kind of in a box. You can't grow from that. You know what I mean? Because what happens when 2023 Jarrett becomes 2025 Jarrett? You know what I mean? Those are going to be two totally different versions of you. You know what I mean? And right. I think you have right. to give yourself permission to evolve. And the people that are willing to evolve with you, then they can remain in your life and you don't necessarily have to set certain boundaries with. You know what I'm saying? But other people,
yeah.
it's like they have to give you that grace to change, right? Because we're all changing. But if you keep yourself in that box, it's just like, you kind of do a disservice to yourself because again, now it's like, okay, how is that serving you now? How is you being Jarrett, the super dependable, awesome, people pleasing version? How is that serving you now? Whether it's good or bad, how is it serving you?
It's exhausting me.
I mean, I bet, right?
It's exhausting me, but that is true in what you're saying. Like, you know, you're not going to stay the same person. And so you're going to evolve and be different, but it's almost because you have been dependable for so long. You have been this version for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, in high school, I was voted most dependable in my high school class. So.
See, but that is the key though, or that is like a key point. It's like you trying to be Mr. Dependable from high school. You ain't in high school no more. You 47 years old. Like, what you
think? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. See? Yeah.
No,
That's the crazy thing. And then, and so friends, high school, college, whatever, everyone's like, well, Jarrett, I wish you would, why don't you call me more? Why don't you talk to me more? Why don't you reach out to me more? Like, I'm going through this. I need your help on this. I need this. What about this? And so I think problem is the people who are close to me in my life, mm-hmm. they look at that and they like, obviously, this person you only talk to sparingly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they don't really care about you in that sense. Y'all are more like casual acquaintances than actual friends. Mm-hmm. Why are you bending over backwards to help help each and everybody that quote unquote needs your help? Mm-hmm. And now you're exhausted, and now you don't have any energy to sit there and hang out with us. Like, you don't want to go bowling. You don't want to go. You don't want to talk on the phone to people. You don't want to sit there and just hang out, go to a restaurant, and on the weekends just lay in bed all day and watch TV. Like, mm-hmm. so you don't even want to do. And then here's how the lack of boundaries also affects your work, because I'm so exhausted. So now I'm like, oh well, I don't really feel like editing this podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't really feel like, you know, working on these video clips. I'm just gonna lay here. Yeah. So I have extended myself so much. Mm-hmm. I've erased all boundaries, and now these people who are satisfied with everything are good.
Right.
I'm not being successful, and I'm mad at myself, which is further pushing me into depression.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think the thing is, like, you have that awareness. And I think that is the key to anything. You have to have the awareness about how it is serving you, whether it's serving you for good or it's serving you for bad. You got to slow down and you got to put things into perspective, like, okay, how is me showing up as this person consistently and constantly for everybody else? And I'm not leaving anything left for myself. Like you said, you don't even have the energy to work on what you're passionate about because you're spreading yourself so thin. And again, that is a key, you know, red flag of, hey, something's got to change. Something's got to change. And I think the number one thing that has to change is we have to let go of what other people are going to think about us. You got to let that go. Because at the end of the day, like I said, I set a boundary at the drop of a hat. I will do it at the drop of a hat. And I have been called a lot of things for it. You know, I've been called selfish. A lot of people think I'm a B word. You know what I mean? I'm mean. Because I just, and I'm going to keep it all the way real with you. I'm going to keep it all the way real with you. People call me these things because I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about how you think about me. I don't care that you think I'm a B word because your lack of communication is not my emergency. Like, I don't care. I don't care. You mad at me because you want me to call you every day and you want me to just be, I'm not doing it. You know why? Because that doesn't serve me. And it can be selfish. I can be self-centered. I can be all the things, but I know and I trust that the people who know who I am authentically, every fiber of my being, they know who I am and how I am and all of those kinds of things. And the boundaries that I have set in place, that it teaches people how to treat me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to accept any ill treatment. I'm just not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So you can call me whatever you want. I just don't care. And I think a lot of people want to get to that point where they don't care. And let me tell you, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to get to this point. It takes a
lot. How do you get to that point?
Listen, I'm all stuttering.
You know, as a podcaster, I got to flip the questions.
Listen, it took a lot of coming to the realization that I am going to be disliked. I'm going to be disliked. And that makes people very uncomfortable. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked. Nobody wants to be known as a selfish, mean, whatever. Like, no, especially as a Black woman. Listen. Because there's stigmas about everything. But being a Black woman, we're already wrapped up in a whole bunch of different titles. We're already angry. We're already aggressive. We're already those things. So now, as a Black woman in America, reaching this point where I don't care how you feel about me putting myself and my needs and my wants and my desires first, and then if I have something left over, then I will distribute as needed. But gone are the days where I am running myself dry for everybody else. And then it's exactly what you said. They gone on. They happy. They wonderful, all this kind of stuff. And I'm exhausted. I'm laying in the bed in fetal position, crying myself to sleep. No, gone are the days. I'm not doing that for nobody. For what? Because that doesn't serve me. And you don't get a reward at the end of this life saying you struggled the most. You held on. You was the most dependable, crossing to the pearly gates of heaven because you just struggled.
What? I wish I'm winning right now.
Because I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. And, you know, I kind of want to circle back to like this whole boundary talk as it pertains to like health and wellness, right? Like, as soon as I said, when you hear boundaries, what do you think of? And you said stress right off the bat. That's exactly what it is for everybody. That is literally what it is for everybody. Now, this is Diabetes Unplugged. So we're talking about the diabetes community specifically when we're talking about, okay, how do you manage your blood sugar? How do you reverse diabetes? How do you create more balance or stable blood sugar levels? You know, all those kinds of things. Well, stress management is a key proponent to that. That's key. And so in order to properly manage stress, you have to have those boundaries in place, because otherwise that's going to be impossible. That means you're going to have to disappoint people. You're going to have to let people down. You're going to have to say no without explanation sometimes. We don't always have to explain our reasoning behind things. If somebody says, hey, can you do this? I'm allowed to say no without giving you anything other than that. That's none of your business why I'm saying no. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And honestly, I love that you tied it back to diabetes. Jared Dim is also like diabetic.
Diabetic, yes.
Yeah, I should have led that apart.
No, but I love that you have to be in a space where you're comfortable revealing that about yourself too. So I didn't want to be the person that was like, yeah, Jared has diabetes. You know what I mean? you know what I'm saying? You're like, Jared, the reason why you're diabetic is because you ain't got no boundaries. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, that's
it ain't the sugary foods, it's your lack of boundaries.
It could be,
but it's definitely a part of it, and it's so true, because like we had several conversations where we sit there and talk about how stress affects diabetes, how it's not just controlling your diet. It's not just monitoring your blood sugar. It is about that stress because it keeps it there. And you got all the scientific information you broken down on my show. It's About Damn Time, which is available on all podcasting platforms. Okay. Find you. But
Shameless plug. I gotta do it.
But that's what it is, because my body is literally riddled with stress. It's because of all the things that I had to try to hold out and hold on for everybody else. Now, granted, it's gotten better. I'm a little bit better with boundaries, and as a result, my stress has relieved a little bit. I still see I got a lot of work to do. But the 2019 version of Jared and the 2023-2024 version of Jared, those are two different Jareds. And as a result, there's some people that did not make the journey.
Listen.
They got lost along the way.
Got lost.
I pour out a little liquor ball.
No, I feel that. Now, like I said, the very hardest boundaries to set are towards people that are your family members, like very close people to you. Have you had to cut anyone off completely that was close to you in your journey? Because you said everybody didn't make the cut, but like I'm saying, are those people... were they pillars in your life at one point? I want to take a quick pause from today's episode as I introduce you to a game-changing resource that can really help you amplify your diabetes journey. What if there was a way for you to get access to the best diabetes resources without having to pay for extensive programs or spend time, effort, and energy trying to DIY your diabetes journey all on your own? Well, let me introduce you to the Queenie's Nutrition 8 ebook bundle, an exclusive collection curated from Dominating Diabetes Academy without the long-term commitment. Dive into the hypertension handbook, savor 7 days of plant-based breakfast, explore the diabetes skincare guide, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to explore this exclusive bundle and elevate your diabetes journey with ease. Now let's get back into today's episode.
Yeah. Some of them were. Some of the people who I talk to every day, you know, I'm the godfather of their kids.
You gotta talk about that. How did that... We ain't gonna slide past that one. You the godfather of their children, and you had to cut them off because that's the boundary that you needed to have for your peace of mind, for your mental health.
I have no ill will towards her, and I had to learn to love her from afar.
Absolutely.
But I think what it was is just the fact that every day we had these conversations, we had these arguments, we had these discussions, but every day it was a very negative tone that I always felt like I had to lift up.
Yes.
And so I don't know if there's a test for being an empath, but I feel like I'm a little empathic. And so because of that, it just weighed on me. It was like almost always something to pick up. And it was like, especially during a hard part of right around early part of 2020, that person was struggling so much. And I was like, I'll basically get out the bed. Hey, come on, you got to eat. You got to do something. Your kids are right here. It was a lot of lift up. And by towards the end of that year, you know, we had gotten into an argument and the first thing out of our mouth was, well, just like you, just like Jared, always treat me like your emotional punching bag. And I was like, what in the tarnation? I'm going to say tarnation. What in the tarnation? What is happening? And I was like, I think I just went blacked out anger. And I used some adjectives and some expletives. And I sit there and told her about herself. And then that was a wrap. And I didn't, like I said, it's been times where we've linked up and hung out and everything, but you know, and granted, there's a friendship mist, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. She knows me, so you know, you're like, oh, I know how you be doing, I know her, but at the same time, it's like, it can't be that way. And, you know, a lot of that was, I definitely was outside of my boundaries, making sure that things were good. Like I'm so upset. My dog ate something and now my dog's sick. So can you, Jared, can you take me to the vet before you go to work? Like, so I'm waking up at like 5:45 in the morning to put the dog in my car to take it to the vet so they can have. It's just a lot. It was a lot. And that's not saying that you can't be there for your friends, because quite frankly, if you have Jared as a friend, if you are lucky enough to have Jared as a friend, I got you. Like, Jared is one of the greatest friends of all time. That's not even hyperbole. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I think I've learned that I want to fight harder for friendships that actually know that I struggle with boundaries and constantly ask me about my boundaries. And that's why we have gotten so close, because you were the first person. Like, every time I'm like, you need some help with this? You're like, you need to establish your boundaries.
Right. Listen. Like, okay, period. I'm good for that, though, because I know how I am. I know how I am. And I know a lot of, and I think also I'm that way because I know a lot of people struggle with saying what they need. You know what I mean? They struggle with saying, you know, this is how I need for you to show up for me. You know what I mean? And I think it's really important that we evaluate all of our relationships, whether they're, you know, platonic or romantic or whatever. You have to sit down and evaluate all of your relationships and ask, like, how are people showing up for me when I need them? And also, do they have the capacity to show up for me in the way that I need them to? You know what I'm saying? Because some people don't have the capacity. They just don't. And I don't think it's right to take advantage of people who do have the capacity. So it's like, there's kind of like a fine line, and you have to decide what that is, like what your boundary is, as far as like, you know, how can I, or how willing am I to show up for other people? But where's my limit? What's my limit? And that's what boundaries are. A boundary is saying, listen, I don't mind taking you to the grocery store if you give me, you know, if you let me know you need to go to the grocery store on Sunday, you know. Let me know Wednesday or something like that. But don't wait till Sunday get here and be like, hey, Medina, can you take me to the grocery store? And you feel like I'm obligated to say yes. No, it doesn't work that way, because I'm going to say no, because I have a life too. Wore that too. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And so it's just like, I think a lot about boundaries has a lot to do with communication as well. Mm-hmm. But I also think a lot about boundaries is like, it's that reflection. It's knowing like what is your limit, and like we all have to know that for ourselves. Like, Jared, what is your limit? Like, there's a lot of stuff where I'd be like running ideas past you or whatever, and you'll like volunteer, be like, yeah, I'll work on this for you, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute, sir, like, you got a whole life. Like, this is not priority for you when you have time and space and energy, and you've slept 8 hours at night. Then maybe you can read. We ain't gonna talk about that on this. We are not gonna talk about this in this episode.
That's a different podcast.
Okay. Because okay. I'm gonna get you on that, but it's fine. It's fine because you're hard headed. Anyways, but you know, you know what I'm saying. It's just like you have to know your capacity, what you're capable of, what you're willing to do, and all that kind of stuff. But you also have to be mindful of someone else's capacity as well, and just show people like, hey, communicate. Like, what I need, yes, is very, very important, but I understand that you may not be able to do it right away.
Yeah, I like what you're saying with not only understanding your capacity, which that's a struggle for me because I feel like I could try to do everything and I'll be trying to juggle everything, but understanding that other person's capacity. Yes. I think that actually lowered my stress when I start actually doing that, because it was like certain things. Like, let's take that particular friend that I just talked about as an example. One of the main things that I'm always going to talk about right now, where anybody who knows me, they gonna hear me talk about podcasts. I would talk like 80% of my conversation going to be about podcasts. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
And so as I'm talking about it, I'm like, yo, did you listen to my episode this week? I'm not really a podcast person. I'm like, okay, but I'm an analyst and I'm obsessively looking over the download numbers. Can you at least press play and hit mute and let that thing go so I get this extra download? I just didn't feel like, and so I used to get like so angry, but it's to a point where I had to sit there. That little statement made me kind of realize, you know what? I'm not going to sit there and fight somebody over a podcast download. I'm not going to sit there and be like, you're not a good friend to me because you don't listen to my podcast, or you miss my live. So now I'm upset with you because you said you're going to listen. or you didn't say happy birthday. You didn't take happy birthday between 12 and 12. Mm-hmm. I don't, who has the energy for that? And that's the stress that you're carrying. Mm-hmm. That's keeping you from being healthy. That's keeping you from getting 8 hours of sleep, which I hear is important.
Oh my God.
Which is key. Not...
Okay. Cause you gonna keep hitting. You gonna keep hitting. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. That's my last one. But those are those things, right? Yeah. Those are those things. It's like you're trying to just lower those stresses. You got to find those little small pockets on. Mm-hmm. Some stress is unavoidable.
But, oh, for sure. Like, stress isn't something that you're going to get rid of altogether. Like, that's impossible.
Right.
But I do think that there are certain things that we choose to stress about that are within our control. And it's just like, exactly. You're choosing that. You're choosing that. Yeah. You don't have to let certain things bother you. You're deciding to dwell on it. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, using the example that you just said, you don't know what's going on in that person's life to where they can't press play on your podcast episode. You don't know. Yes, it sounds really simple. It sounds like, hey, well, while you're cooking dinner, why don't you throw my podcast on? But you don't know the state of mind that they're in when they're cooking dinner. You don't know they might have 50-11 kids running around and everything's off schedule and, you know, they're just trying to make it through the day. You don't know that. You know what I mean? So to sit there and internalize and put a, like, create a narrative, I guess. It's like sometimes we can create certain narratives about people when they can't show up. Or they don't have the capacity to show up for us. You know what I'm saying? We create a narrative like, okay, they don't love me. They don't care about me. They're not a real friend. They're this, they're that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying, no, we are all out here living in survival mode 98% of the time. Like, we got things going on.
Yeah.
And that's why self-care is so important. It's about self. Boundaries is about yourself. But that's what this is all about. So it's like, yeah, because at the end of the day,
you're talking about me.
I mean, low key, but you know, it's fine. We'll just let it ride. But you know what I'm saying? Like, so that's why self-care is so important, because again, you have to learn how to show up for yourself. You have to learn how to show up for yourself, because everybody doesn't have the ability to do that. You know what I mean? They don't, especially when it comes to health and wellness. If you are diabetic and you understand how important stress management is, and you sit down, you take a moment to evaluate just like your day-to-day routine, and you are sitting there like, okay, what do I do first thing in the morning? You know, like, what does that look like? I wake up, I put my feet on the ground, and then I'm running. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? This person called. I got to take my mama here. I got to take my sisters and brothers there. And then the baby's got to get here. Da, 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 da. And you don't have no boundary. Like, that's crazy. There's no reason why you should be rushing out the door for somebody else, making sure they eat, making sure they exercise and they got this and that. And you ain't even put food in your mouth first. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they say. What they say on the airplane, put your mask on first. And then put the other person up. Because again, you have to fill your own cup first. And yes, like I said at the beginning, you might be labeled a certain way. You might be labeled as they don't care, or they are selfish, or they are this, that, and the other. You gotta listen. People gonna talk. People are gonna talk, but you have to set boundaries. Listen, you gotta even set boundaries with your kids. Okay.
Yo, and I struggle with that. I started with that.
Because you,
I started with that.
You have a daughter, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And your daughter is how old?
15.
Okay. What is your hardest thing? 15? Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. Yeah. And she's a girl. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's a Danny's girl. So, yeah.
What? Listen. You do. What's the hardest boundary to set with your daughter?
All of them. Like, all of them. Like, she, like she'll tell me a story about how you know, she tried to go to the, you know, this dance, and she need a ride here, and can you pay for an Uber? Yeah, baby, I got you. Oh, she hungry, she really wants some Chipotle, she don't really feel like eating nothing in the house. Oh, okay, baby, I got you. Her cycle's on. She wants some of them little adhesive sticky heating pads and everything. Okay. Like, why didn't you tell me you ran out of them? I got you. Like, yeah.
You're meeting her needs though.
I mean needs and wants. I mean both. Because I could be like, yo, I know your mama got food in the house because she a couponer. I know she gets there and there. Yeah. So I know you can probably eat something in the house, but I know you don't really feel like it. So okay, baby. Or like even just the amount of phone calls. Yeah. Like when she's a teen, you know, you a teenager, you might not hear from her for a couple of weeks because mm-hmm. she just old doing her thing.
Yes.
Soon as she take a break from school and everything, so now you didn't call me 8 times today. I had podcasts, I had editing sessions, I had my 9-to-5 job, I had meetings to go to. Mm. Oh, daddy, quick question. You know, so do you like my hair like this or do you like my hair like that?
I'm talking about the type of boundaries. Like, okay, listen. Okay, so you know, and I can only speak for Black households because I'm a Black woman, grew up with Black parents. Like, this is, I know the Black struggle, okay?
Right.
So, like, in a Black household, I know for me, we were always raised with this, like, once you have a kid, it's about the kid and what you need is no longer important and you live for the kid, you're not living for yourself anymore. And I don't know that I 100% agree with that anymore. I think that was a belief that was deeply, deeply embedded in my psyche since I was a kid. And it wasn't like, you know, I sat down and had this conversation with my mom and dad. It was just kind of like, you just knew that.
We showed it to you.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. you knew it. And you also, you know, I saw my mom doing it. It was my mom never really did stuff for herself. It was always about it. She had 7 of us. So she didn't have time to really think about herself. So when you are growing up, and again, kids shape their perception of reality, you know, in childhood. So to see my mom just always doing something for us and then for her husband, you know, at the time or whatever, and never doing that self-care. Well, then you grow up, you know, saying, okay, well, I don't have time for me. And now I have this kid and what they need is more important than what I need. I stopped believing that. And the moment that I stopped believing that, I feel like my ability to manage stress got a lot easier. And that's not to say that I don't love my son. He's 7 years old now. It's not to say that I don't love him. It's not to say that I don't like being a mom. But it is to say that my needs still matter. What I want still matters, even though I have a child and even though I want the best for my child and I want to create this beautiful life for my child because he deserves that. He didn't ask to be here. But also, I deserve happiness too. I deserve peace. Yeah. I deserve comfort. I deserve all the things that my heart desires as well. And I'm not going to put that on the back burner or stop living my life, so to speak, just because I have a kid. Now, let me disclaimer. I'm not saying that I'm not meeting my kids' basic survival needs. What I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm going to just throw caution to the wind, leave him, you know, in the house by himself for 48 hours to, you know, eat, pack with the oodles and noodles. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, for example, I used to be the person that would roll out of bed and it was like, okay, what does he need? You know what I mean? Does he need to go here? Does he need it? Let me get him dressed. Let me feed him breakfast. Let me do this. And what does my husband need? And is he okay? Let me pack his lunch and da da da. And it was never about me. You know what I mean? And I noticed I was just like going crazy because nobody asked me what I needed. Nobody asked me. Like, even if they did ask me, I wouldn't even have the answer because I don't know.
Let's talk about that. Because I don't have any answers. Like, dear, what do you want? I don't know. Like, I don't. Right. Matter of fact, I don't. Everyone knows how to give me anything for Father's Day, Christmas, or my birthday because I don't even know what I want anyway. So don't bother giving it to me.
But that's hard. Yeah. It's like.
You have a good point, though. You have a good point about that family and that household thing. Mm-hmm. I love that example because you're right. That's the literal mentality that I have. Mm-hmm. And I saw it with my mama. And I still see it with my mom. My mom would be like, well, baby, you paying for Brooklyn's volleyball and all your other bills and your podcast stuff? Uh-huh. I'm like, mama, don't you got bills to pay? Don't worry about it. Yeah. So she's still doing it. And I'm doing it for Brooklyn because Brooklyn will ask me for something. I'm broke,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like make it happen. And it's really hard when you rely on people as in your life to sit there and set boundaries for you. You have to start doing that for yourself, mm-hmm. because it's to a point that my daughter knows that I don't set boundaries well.
Yeah.
And when she asks me for something, she'll be like, "Are you sure?" Because she know that I will give everything I have to her. Yes. And then I will eat oodles of noodles.
Right. So that she has
spiking up
your blood sugar. Right.
Spiking up my sodium levels. I will do that. Yeah. Until I get paid, just to make sure that she is good for whatever, mm-hmm. whatever major thing or small thing that she wants.
Right. Right.
It's a problem. You're right. It's self-care. I'm not very good at self-care, but you're right.
Stop saying that. Stop saying you're not good at it.
I am going to get better.
I am working on being better about my self-care.
Yes. I am working on being better about my self-care.
There you go.
That's what I'm doing.
And here's the thing. It's not going to happen overnight, right? Like, I really want to like drive this point home, because it's like, you know, you can hear an episode about, okay, you need to set boundaries, and you can identify all the areas that you need to set boundaries in and all that kind of stuff. And you feel like you need to do it all overnight. And that's not realistic. You're not going to, especially when you have been used to operating a certain way all your life. I mean, all your life. And you're trying to change that now. Like, 40 years of doing the same thing does not change in a week or two. You know what I'm saying? It takes intention, and it takes practice, and it takes showing up yourself for yourself. When you're setting boundaries, you don't have to be mean about it. Like, a boundary is not always, I'm going to cut you off if you do this. You know what I mean? That's not always what a boundary is. Like I said, a boundary is communication. It is, this thing that you are doing is not working for me. And in order for us to continue to have a healthy relationship, or in order for me to be able to continue to show up for you in the way that you desire, this is the change that we need to make. And if you're unable to do that, then this is going to be the consequence. So you have to communicate, this is what I'm needing. What is the problem? What is the, you know, solution? And then what is the consequence if they're unable to, you know, meet where you need to be met? You know what I mean? But that goes back to capacity. You can communicate that, and somebody still has the right to say, I am not able to show up for you in that way. You know what I mean? You can explain, this is what I'm needing, but you also have to realize that somebody else on the receiving end of that also has the right to say, I cannot do that, or I am not willing to do that. That doesn't make them a bad person. It doesn't make them a bad friend. It just means that they are unable to show up for you in that way. And I would rather somebody say no to me than to say yes out of obligation, because that doesn't serve either one of us. You know what I'm saying? Even when it comes to my son, I explained to my kid, and he's 7 years old, listen, I understand that you're hungry. I completely understand that. I understand that you feel like you're going to die if you do not eat within the next 5 seconds. I totally get that. I said, but right now I have literally just realized that I was blessed to see another day. I literally just opened my eyeballs. Okay. I'm not thinking straight right now. So if you can give me 10 minutes to wake up and brush my teeth, then I'll be right with you. But that's my boundary. Like, that's a boundary for a kid. You know what I'm saying? But that is me, you know, communicating my need. I recognize that this is what you are needing. I recognize that. You know what I'm saying? And this is what I can do right now. And if that is not okay with you, then that's fine. You know, and again, his consequence or whatever was like, I need you to be patient right now. If you cannot do that, then I'm going to have you go take a break somewhere. But you're not going to come and be demanding on me. And then I'm going crazy, like, oh my God, my kid needs this. And, you know, if I don't get it to him right now, he's going to throw a fit and all this kind of stuff. And I just be like, so? Now I just be like, oh, you sad? Okay. I'm so sorry that you feel upset. I feel sad with you. I understand you're upset. But this wild. Is what I can do.
I just realized that as much as we talked about, you know, the past and, they giving all to what you can for your kids and everything and mm-hmm. sacrifice for yourself. And my mom did do that. It's like when you told that story, I just realized my mom, I must have missed that point where my mom actually did set boundaries. Like, I didn't realize it. And it was like that wake up thing hit me because Saturday mornings was my cartoon Saturday.
Yeah.
I can't get up to go to school on time, but Saturday morning I was up at 5:50 ready for some cartoons. You know what I mean? Right. And my mom had a rule, Jared, do not wake me up until 10 o'clock.
That's her boundary.
This is our boundary. Your cereal is right here. I already poured the cereal in the bowl. Mm-hmm. It's sitting here on the counter. Mm-hmm. I poured a glass of milk in the refrigerator. So all you got to do is open the refrigerator up, pour that glass into that bowl, put that glass in the sink, take your cereal bowl, and you can watch TV in your room in front of the TV. Don't get loud. Don't be playing with your toys that loud. 10 o'clock. If you come in here before 10 o'clock, we're going to have some problems. You ain't going to be able to watch cartoons until I get up. I said, well, Lord, all the cartoons off my time. You get up, so no.
And that was her boundary. But as a kid, you don't see that. You think, okay, mommy just being me, or she don't want to be bothered or whatever. And mommy is like, no, I've been working Monday through Friday, you know, Sunday through Friday, taking care of everybody. Saturday is the day where I just think about me. I want to sleep in. I don't want to have to get up and provide you with food every day. Like, no, that's why I'm teaching my son. Listen, when you wake up every morning, you can take your tail in the bathroom, go brush your teeth, wash your face, comb your hair. Go do that because it's your body and it is your appearance. You know what I mean? I'm not responsible for doing that. Now I'm a check. I'm a check. But you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I got to teach her responsibility now. So that way, again, I can assert the boundary. Why did you get up and start watching TV without brushing your teeth, washing your face, putting some clothes on? You know, those kinds of things. And right now, he's at that age of like, you know, mommy's just mad all the time. Mommy's mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it became easier for me to set boundaries, not just with my son, but with, you know, a lot of different, you know, people and different things like that that are close to me, when I realized that I am going to disappoint them. I'm going to. It is inevitable. I'm going to disappoint them, especially when it came to my kid, because you don't want to be labeled like as a bad mom, right? Like, I struggle with that so much. I still struggle with that. Like, I still you know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I still struggle with, shut up. I still struggle with feeling like I'm a bad mom, but it did get easier. And when I say easier, it doesn't mean I never struggle, but it does get easier when I came to the realization that I'm going to disappoint him. I'm going to disappoint you as my friend. One day I'm going to disappoint you. You know what I mean? I'm going to disappoint my mom and my dad and my sisters and brothers. I'm going to disappoint them. It's inevitable. You know what I mean? And so many times we put this pressure on it. It's like, I got to show up because I don't want people to be disappointed in me. But you got to let people down. You got to let people down. And it's not intentional, but it's going to happen. And when you realize that that's going to happen, and they are going to make up in their mind how they feel about it because they are creating their own stories and their own narratives that I have no control over, you'll be fine. But I'm going to disappoint my son. He's going to be mad at me. You know what I mean? But then there's going to be times where he loves me and I'm the greatest thing that he's ever had in his life. You know what I mean?
He had the best day ever.
You saw when he took me on a date. If you haven't, listen, if you're not following me on Instagram, you need to follow me on Instagram. I'll have everything linked in the show notes. But listen, my stories be lit because... my stories be lit, okay? My son wanted to take me out on a date. Now, he a little cheap. He made me pay. But, you know... He made me pay, but it was the cutest thing in the world. And so some days you have those days where you just feel on top of the world. You're showing up for everybody, you know, in your life the way that you feel they want you to show up, you know, and everything's right with the world. And then you have those days where you're just like, I am not being a good friend right now. I don't have the capacity to be a good friend, what people would consider to be a good friend. You know why? Because my world is burning around me right now. And right now, it just requires for me to only think about me. That's where I'm at right now. You know, and that's okay to be there. But I want to encourage everybody that's listening to this episode. Again, the number one thing that you need to do is sit down and evaluate your relationships, whether, you know, it's with your kids, whether it's with friends, whether it's your family, your parents, sisters, brothers, you know, if you're a caretaker of someone, evaluate those relationships and identify, you know, how they are serving you and how you are showing up for those people in your life. And if you're showing up in a way that is reciprocal, right? Like, do they pour into you just as much as you pour into them? You know what I mean? Are they reliable to you just as much as you are showing that you are reliable to them? And if not, what boundaries might you need to set so that way you can prioritize showing up for you? Because I can guarantee the more you practice showing up for you and making sure that you're taken care of and all your needs are met, the more you're going to be able to show up for those people at the true capacity that you are able to, and it serves everybody without sacrificing your needs. Yeah?
I love it. Cool. I love it. You have broken down for me, and I got some work to do.
You got some work to do. Listen, yeah. We're going to talk about sleep when the camera go off, but you got some work to do. Real quick.
We'll just do another podcast episode. Okay, that way you can have him back on.
There you go.
Yeah, that way you can have him back on.
If you enjoyed having Jared Dam himself in the building for today's episode, make sure you leave a comment. We want to know if this conversation was very helpful to you. If you want me to have Jared back on, it's okay. You're not going to hurt his feelings. I can fire him. He doesn't have to come back on. You know, our friendship just works that way. So, you know.
Apparently so.
He's like, this is news to me. Let me know in the comments what you took away from this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. But before we go, Jared, I want you to kind of brag on yourself a little bit, because I didn't do a proper intro. So I want you to brag on yourself a little bit. Where can people find you and connect with you? Because he's doing amazing things on his platform too. And you can hear me over on his platform. We talk about a lot of stuff over there.
Absolutely. I am the host of It's About Damn Time. It's a podcast about self-discovery. It's a self-journey. It's help. I'm on a road to build a better me. And what I like to do with my audience is take them along the way. And maybe through those conversations, you can help you build a better you. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole, you know, purpose of that. So you can follow me on IG, on Facebook. If that's still your thing.
Is that a thing? On Facebook? I don't know.
I think people don't want to think, you know, maybe some of them. Threads, you know, all that stuff. You can follow me on It's About Damn Time Pod. Also, you know, I'm creating this platform. I want, you know, people such as Medina who are helping people build better deals and create spaces for entertainment and education and just uplifting people. It's called it's the whole damn show, because we literally do it all. We educate, we entertain, we do it all. It is more so of a podcast label, kind of a network. I'm inclusive of helping podcasters kind of get to their best with, you know, with marketing and production. It's a great thing. And the whole damn show, you can follow me there as well. That's DAWHOLEDAMNSHOW. The whole damn show.
I love it. Thank you all for listening. I love you all. All this information you can find in the show notes for sure. And without any further ado, we're going to catch you next Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Diabetes Unplugged. If you enjoyed this conversation, follow me over on Instagram to join the ongoing discussion sparked by this week's episode. You can find all my social media handles in the show notes, and you can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And for more insightful blogs, support, and other digital downloads, head over to queenixnutrition.com. Until next time, take care and keep striving for your health goals. See you next week.